Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia through the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hot Topics, where today we will be discussing this hot topic. Saved? Slaves? What am I talking about? Well, as Christians, we have been set free, free indeed, through the once-for-all-time sacrificial work of Christ, right? Through his death and resurrection. We have been set free, right? John chapter 8, verse 36. When the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Well, I mean, the Bible says that we have been set free, but free from what? And if we are, as saved people, free, does that mean that we are not under authority? Does that mean that we can say what we want to say, act how we want to act? Does that mean that we are free to do anything we want to do? Look at me, everybody. No. We are saved, praise God, slaves of God. What? Yeah. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul makes that point very, very clear. He says here in verse 8, talking to Christians, the Christians in Rome, he says, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him." And that's because Christ, right? He who knew no sin became sin for us. The wages of sin is death. Christ ended up dying for us, right? But what happened 3 days later? He rose in victory, right? As Peter declared in Acts chapter 2, the doors of death could no longer hold on to Christ, right? Because where there's sin, the penalty or the punishment is death. Where there's no sin, there's no death. By Christ rising from the dead, he proved conclusively that he has paid for the sins of his people once for all time. Why? Because if there was one sin he didn't pay for, that means he couldn't have risen from the dead, right? The doors of death would have held on to him. Well, again, that's what Paul is saying here. He said, because Christ has been raised from the dead, he's never to die again. Death no longer is master over him, right? He paid for our sins as Christians. He paid for our sins in full in terms of that day of judgment. He goes on to say, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, Paul says, consider yourselves, Christian, to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, right? What do you mean we're dead to sin? Does that mean we don't sin anymore? No. He goes on to say, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you do not obey its lusts. He's not saying we're dead to sin, meaning that we're never going to sin again. What he's saying is when you're dead to sin, your sin nature no longer has mastery over you, right? We all come into this world physically alive, but spiritually dead or disconnected from God. Why? Because we all inherited a sin nature from Adam and Eve. And, listen very carefully, we are slaves to that sin nature. We are in bondage, enslaved to that sin nature. So, as a non-believer, whatever your sin nature tells you to do, you must do. Why? Because you are a slave to your sin nature. In other words, at one time, Christian, guess what you were? An unsaved slave. And your master was your sin nature. But when Christ set you free, he set you free indeed. From what? From sinning? No. We still have a sin nature. And we're going to continue to sin on this side of heaven, unfortunately. We don't want to, but we still have a sin nature. So what does Christ set you free from? He sets you free from the bondage of your sin nature. When Christ set you free, he set you free indeed. Now you have the ability to say no to your sin nature and yes to the Spirit, because now the God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you, right? That's why Paul said, again in verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. Now you can say no to the lusts of your sin nature. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin, Christian, shall not be master over you. Why? When the Son sets you free, you're free what? Indeed. Sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, trying to earn your salvation by following the law, but you are under grace. You have trusted, Christian, in the grace of Christ, in grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone for your salvation, right? Now, Paul here anticipates that maybe some of the Christians there in Rome would have said, okay, well, if we're not under, you know, if we're no longer in bondage to our sin nature, and if we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that means we can just go out and do whatever we want, right? Now, Paul anticipated that question. He goes on to say in verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? You see how he anticipated that? You know what Paul's answer was? May it never be. In fact, in the Greek, it is so emphatic. It's like, are you nuts? That's my translation. Are you nuts? Okay. Christ set you free, free from the bondage of your sin nature. You've been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Wait a second. You're seriously asking the question, well, since we're under grace, can we just go out and satisfy our sin nature? What? Paul says, may it never be. He makes his case. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as, here's the word, slaves to obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey. Either you're slaves of sin, which results in death, or you're slaves of obedience, resulting in righteousness. You see that, Christian? At one time, we were unsaved slaves. Who was our master? Sin nature. But now, Christian, you are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You are saved what? Slaves. You're still a slave, but guess what? You have a new master. His name is Jesus Christ. Where your master, your sin nature, was leading you to eternal damnation, your master now, Christian, Jesus Christ, leads you to eternal life. You see it? But you're still a slave. That's what Paul's saying here. He said, you're either a slave to sin that leads to death, or you're a slave to obedience, to righteousness that leads to life. He goes on to say, verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you see it? You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, from the bondage of sin, having been freed from your sin nature being your master, Paul goes on to say, you've now become slaves of righteousness. You see it? You're still a slave. You just have a different master. He's a good master, a great master, a perfect master. Paul says, I'm speaking to you in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members in your former way of life as slaves to impurity, can anybody relate? You presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness. So now, present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. You see it? When you were under the bondage of your sin nature, you were a slave to unrighteousness. You were a slave to lawlessness, and it led to further lawlessness. But now, Christian, that you are a slave of Christ, a bond slave of Christ, it leads to what? Sanctification, holiness, purity. Paul goes on to say, verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. And then he goes, by the way, what benefit did you derive from the things then which you are ashamed of now? Wow. You ever look back in your life before you were a Christian and go, I cannot believe I did that? Well, why should you be surprised? You were simply obeying your master at that time, your sin nature, right? Why would you be surprised you did those things or said those things or thought those things? You were just obeying your master. By the way, are you proud of any of those things now, Christian? No. That's what Paul says. It's like, you want to go back to that? By the way, is there anything back from that time that you go, wow, that's really, I'm proud of that? No. He goes on to say, for the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin, here we go, and enslaved to God. You see it? You're a saved slave. Having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's funny. Most people know that verse, right? Most Christians do, right? And for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. But they don't understand the context of what Paul is saying here. It's a context in where he's talking about slavery. You once were a slave to your sin nature, Christian. What benefit did you derive from that? Nothing. Anything you're proud of? No. But now you're a slave to Christ. You're enslaved to God. The result? Forgiveness of sins, free gift of eternal life. Sanctification leads to glorification. How do you think you should live? Like you used to? As an unsaved slave? Or like you are now? A saved slave. More on that after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Hot Topics, where today we're talking about a really hot topic here. Slavery. As Christians, we are saved, praise God. But we're slaves to God. Wait a second, Andrew. No, I know. None of this slave talk. Well, you do understand the Bible is filled with slave talk. In fact, if you were with us on the first part of the show, we took a look at Romans 6. Christian, you've always been a slave, even before you were saved by Christ. Again, in Romans 6, it says you were enslaved to your sin nature. And your sin nature, who was your master, was leading you towards unholiness, ungodliness, lawlessness, eternal damnation. You were a slave, Christian, back before you were saved. You were an unsaved slave. Your master, the Bible says, your sin nature. But now that Christ has set you free, free indeed, John 8:36. What has he set you free from? The bondage of your sin nature. No longer are you enslaved by your sin nature. Because when Christ sets you free, he sets you free indeed. Free to do what? Free to do whatever you want? No. Free to act the fool and still live as an unsaved person, yet because, no, because you've prayed some magic prayer? No. When Christ sets you free, you are free indeed. You are no longer in bondage to your sin nature. Your sin nature is no longer your master. But guess what? Now you're saved, but you're still a slave. Who's your master? The Lord God Almighty. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's a good master, a perfect master, an awesome master. He leads you to holiness. He leads you to eternal life. You see? Christian, at one time, before you were saved, you were an unsaved slave. Your master, your sin nature. Think about the things you did. Why you did them? Because your master said so. Now, Christian, you are a saved slave. Who's your master? Jesus Christ. And by obeying your master in the power of the Spirit for the glory of God, you are living the life that God wants you to live. It's a life of holiness, a life of sanctification that leads to glorification. And now you can do that because you are no longer in bondage to your sin nature. You've been set free, but you're still a slave. This time, to the perfect master, Jesus Christ. In fact, over in Romans 14, Paul carries on with that. He says that in verse 7, "For not one of us lives for himself, and no one dies for himself." He says, "For if we," talking to Christians, "live, we live for the Lord." But of course, he's our master. "Or if we die, we die for the Lord." Of course, he's our master. "Therefore," he says, "whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." In other words, Christian, you're a saved slave. How does it make you feel? I know some of you are going, "I like the saved part, Andrew. This slave part is bothering me." Well, of course it does. Because when you think of the word slave, you think of the horrific abuses that have occurred in the name of slavery. And yes, horrific abuses. And we certainly don't condone those. To be honest with you, those abuses by the hands of ungodly masters are nothing in comparison to the abuses that our sin nature, our master, had heaped upon us. Because our sin nature, that master, was leading us to eternal damnation. You see, slavery can be something very horrific if you have the wrong master. But if you have the right master, slavery is actually a blessing. As Christians, you are saved slaves. Think of who your master is. Think of what he did to purchase you. He gave up his perfect body. He shed his precious royal blood. Christian, he purchased you and me off the slave market of sin, self, and Satan. We were bought at a price, and that price was the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. God the Son who became man, the perfect God-man who willingly became our substitute on the cross. Our sins were placed on him. He was punished with the wrath that we deserve. He died the death we deserve, but 3 days later he rose in victory, paying for our sins in full in terms of that day of judgment. And Christian, you have been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It is all because of what Christ has done for you, by fulfilling all righteousness for you and then being punished for your unrighteousness and paying for that. And that righteousness of Christ has been imputed, credited to our account, so that when God the Father looks at you, Christian, he can say, Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We like that, don't we? But of course, the righteousness of Christ has been credited to our account. He did it all. We're the recipients of that most amazing grace. He set us free. Free from the bondage of our sin nature. Okay, what do we do? How do we live? As freed people who are still slaves, but slaves to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you guys know this passage. What did the Apostle Paul say about immorality? He says, verse 18, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside his body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. There's slave language everywhere in Scripture. So don't get offended when you hear the word slave. And again, we have to understand. And again, the Greek word for that's used, it's unfortunate. Many of the more modern Bible translations try to soften that word slave by putting in its place servant. It's more palatable for us, right? Servant. It's okay, I'm a servant of Christ. No. Serving is what you do. A slave is who you are. The Greek word is doulos, slave, bond servant, bond slave. And again, when you think about it, you used to be a doulos, a bond slave to your sin nature, wicked master. You're now a bond slave to Jesus Christ, the holy, perfect master. Nobody should be offended by that. I'm a slave of Christ. In fact, go to Titus. Look what Paul says of himself. He writes out his greeting to a young pastor by the name of Titus. He starts out by saying, Paul, a bond servant or bond slave of God. Paul wasn't ashamed to be a saved slave. He said, I'm a bond slave, a bond servant of God. Same thing. James, half brother of Jesus, he opens up his letter. Chapter 1, verse 1. James, a bond servant, bond slave of God. Isn't it interesting? He opens up his letter by describing himself as a saved slave, right? Just like Paul did. Now, James could have said, hey, this is James, you know, half brother of Jesus. Grew up with Jesus, same family. Yeah, I was conceived a little bit very different than Jesus. He was conceived supernaturally by the power of the Holy Spirit. I was conceived naturally through the union of my mother, Mary, and my father, Joseph. But nevertheless, I'm a half-brother of Jesus. You guys better listen to me. Is that what he says? He goes, no, James, a doulos of Christ Jesus. Another half-brother of Jesus, Jude, right before Revelation. He starts out his letter the same way. Jude, chapter 1, verse 1, a doulos, bond servant, saved slave of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. Notice he doesn't say the brother of Jesus. He just wants to stay humble. So we see the great apostle Paul. Hi, I'm a saved slave. We see James. Hi, I'm a saved slave. We see Jude. Hi, I'm a saved slave. Christian. Hi. You and I are saved slaves. And that's an honor. That is a blessing. And that is not something you should be upset about, feel queasy about. And certainly you shouldn't be ashamed of that. Because think about who your master is. Think about what your master, Jesus Christ, did for you. He purchased you off the slave market of sin, self, and Satan. When Christ set you free, you're free indeed. You're no longer your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, you submit to your master, you honor your master, you obey your master. Not try to earn your salvation, no, out of gratitude for that which your master did for you and continues to do for you on a daily basis. Christian, you live and you die as a saved slave. In fact, Dr. John MacArthur wrote a book, and I know about the book, but I have not had a chance yet to read it. I believe the title is just one word, slave. And I've heard excerpts where he talked about it and just different things he was mentioning. And I mean, obviously, just I have no doubt he did a brilliant job with that. But it's interesting. He talks about how when he presented the book to the editors and publishers, they didn't want to use that title. They thought that title was too offensive. It was too hot. It was one that would just cause all kinds of controversy. He says, well, wait a second. That's what the Bible says about us as Christians. And Dr. MacArthur tells the story about how many in the African-American community thanked him for that book. It actually helped provide some healing and even a fresher perspective on that word slave. Again, not trying to deny the horrific atrocities that did happen. But nevertheless, when you understand, Christian, that you're a slave, but when you understand who your master is, that you're a saved slave, in comparison to before when you were an unslaved slave. Wow. All you can do is just praise your Lord Jesus and say, Master, it is my joy and my honor to serve you, to submit to you, and to bring glory to you. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.